Welcome to the Word, to the Uttermost, a ministry of First Emmanuel Baptist Church located in Chesapeake, Virginia. This message is presented by Bible teacher and servant of Christ, Dr. Walter Yoho.
And if you'd be interested in having a booklet that goes along with this series of messages on prayer entitled The Altar of Gold, please contact us and we'd be happy to talk to you more about that. We're talking about important reasons why we should pray more frequently and more fervently. And we started off with a very basic reason: God commands Christians to pray. And we're talking about 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing is not talking about praying that is continuously occurring. It's not talking about praying that is continuously occurring, but that is readily recurring. It does not mean you're praying all the time and have no time for anything else like sleeping, eating, working, playing, tennis, or talking with a friend. My son Peter and I were walking in Staples. Peter is my youngest son. I told him to look around for items that would interest him while I shopped for educational items. When it was time to go, I looked all over for Peter, but couldn't find him. Then I heard his hacking cough and followed the sound right to him. The adverb in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, translated without ceasing, was used in the Greek papyri for a hacking cough. When a person is suffering from a hacking cough, he does not cough continually without pause, but there is that tickle in his throat that easily breaks out into an audible cough at any time. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Three things, I think. First, we should be living in the abiding atmosphere of God, or as Moses says it, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Psalm 91:1. What I want more than anything, remarked Charles Spurgeon, is to be able, whatever I happen to be doing or wherever I happen to be going, to stop, look up to heaven and say, I love you, Father. And for God to look down and say, I know it, Charles. I know it. Second, we should send prayergrams up to heaven, like Nehemiah did, whenever we feel a special need to do so. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands, Nehemiah 6:9. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear, Nehemiah 6:14. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof, Nehemiah 13:14. Can you find more of these prayergrams in the book of Nehemiah? There are eight. Third, praying without ceasing means, I think, we should have stated times of prayer and not miss our appointments. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice, said the psalmist in Psalm 55:17. Daniel kept his appointments with the Lord, even though it meant being cast into the lion's den, Daniel 6:1 through 10. Praying without ceasing does not mean using vain repetitions as the heathen do. Jesus said, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Matthew 6:7-8. Do not resort to a Tibetan prayer wheel. According to the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, based on the lineage texts regarding prayer wheels, spinning such a wheel will have much the same meritorious effect as orally reciting the prayers. Indeed, the Lord's Prayer itself, which was given to help us be natural in prayer, can become a ritualistic repetition if repeated in the form of a punishment. Say so many Hail Marys or Our Fathers, or by rote as part of a Protestant order of worship. Meritorious prayers are meaningless. Mechanical prayers are meaningless. God is not hard of hearing. God is not slow to bless. We don't have to wear him out until we force our will upon him. Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Not all repetition is vain repetition. In Gethsemane, our Lord prayed the third time, saying the same words, Matthew 26:44. Repetition can express pronounced and profound earnestness. Hear what Samuel said to the children of Israel in 1 Samuel 12:23. As for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Don't promise a person you are going to pray for him and then don't. Notice how Luke introduces the parable of the unjust judge in Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Being persistent in prayer differs from being insistent. We shouldn't demand that God answers in our way and in our time, but we should continue to let him know our requests. As we read in Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The first reason you and I should pray more frequently and more fervently is because God commands Christians to pray. Here's a second reason. Prayer is a great way to start the day. Prayer is a great way to start the day. Start each day like the Bible. In the beginning, God. That's how the psalmist started his day, as he tells us in Psalm 5:3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. I met God in the morning, when my day was at its best, and his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. Every day is God's gift to us if we will untie the ribbon. When you begin your day with the Lord in his word and in prayer, you are, as it were, untying the ribbon. So then you will say with the psalmist, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. And then you will say with the prophet, thy mercies are new every morning. Lamentations 3:22-23. Meet God in the morning, and he will walk with you all through the day. His shining presence will make the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice, as he gives you to enjoy the days of heaven upon the earth. Mary of Bethany did indeed choose that good part which should not be taken from her, Luke 10:38-42. One good pastor said, we have a rule in our house, no Bible, no breakfast. That makes me think of what Job said in Job 23:12. He said, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Another reason why we should pray is that prayer is a great way to close the day. Prayer is a good key to open the day, Psalm 5:3, and a good lock to close the day, Psalm 4:8. Psalm 4:8 reads, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Let the mountains crumble and tumble into the midst of the sea. What of it? Be still. Literally in the Hebrew, cease striving and know that I am God, Psalm 46. By all means, insists George Herbert, use some time to be alone. Silence is a proof of greatness. The great engine is almost noiseless, but the cheap model is a rattletrap. Silence and distance are the parents of perspective, which is the father of perception and the mother of prudence. In returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Isaiah 30:15. The effect of righteousness shall be quietness and insurance and assurance forever. Isaiah 32:17. The Lord assured Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Exodus 33:14. Take time to consider him. Hebrews 12:1-4. The person who gets alone with God is never alone. John 16:31-32. You are never less alone than when you were all alone with Jesus. He who has learned how to pray is no longer alone in the universe. He is living in his Father's house. The most important dimension of a Christian's life is his own personal relationship with God. And the most important place in the Christian's life is the quiet place. Softly fall the shades of evening. Twilight spreads her mantle broad. O'er my soul there comes a longing to be alone, alone with God. To some quiet place retreating, forbidden is each earthly care. Closed the door to all but Jesus at this sacred hour of prayer. Alone with God, a holy stillness o'er my soul gently steals. In the secret of his presence, here my soul his glory feels. Far above the world's confusion, winged by faith, my spirit soars to the throne where my dear Savior in my soul his glory pours. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, testified the sweet psalmist of Israel. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, literally, pastures of tender grass. He leadeth me beside the still waters, literally, waters of quietness. He restoreth my soul, Psalm 23:1-3a. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee, Psalm 116:7. O Lord, please lead our readers to find rest in you, through the one who said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation by Dr. Walter Yoho. For further information, comments, prayers, and material, please contact missions300ministry@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and God bless.